Hello, Mixed Nutcases. This is Nukchas, and I've got day five of the dog days of podcasting for you. So I think I told you yesterday that I would explain what I meant by happy civic weekend. So I live in Canada, and one of the things that I love about Canada is when there isn't a holiday in a month, they kind of make one. So this weekend, we're celebrating the civic holiday. In every province, it's kind of a different holiday. We have another one of these made-up holidays in February, I think. I think it's Family Day. And I love that Canada said, yeah, there should be, you know, a bank holiday in every month. Let's make sure everybody's got a three-day weekend every month, which is pretty neat. I mean, not everybody gets off, but up here, you know, like grocery stores will have limited hours or closed for the actual holiday, and they really do kind of make everybody take off, and it's good. I really dig it. So I may have mentioned before, I study Aikido, which is a martial art. Think Steven Seagal before he got crazy. I study a different branch. I study Yoshinkan Aikido. He studies Aikikai. But basically, you know, similar enough for the, you know, without getting into the nitty gritty of it all. And so the dojo that I'm part of, we closed down for the month of August because it's way too hot and most of the kids are in camp. And as anyone will tell you, especially in North America, the lifeblood of any dojo is the juniors program. It is the kids. The kids are the ones that pay the bills and keep the lights on and keep everything going. If you don't have a juniors program, you're not going to have an adult program. It's just not going to happen. You're not going to get enough adults that are there consistently enough. Whereas with kids, I mean, we've had times where we've had to limit our classes and say we're booked. Not in recent years, but we've gotten pretty close. I mean, when you've got 30 plus kids on the mats at once, oh man, it gets crazy. So we are closed for the month. And Tech and I decided that we're going to go and try and visit another dojo in the area every week. So this week we went to Georgetown Aikido and it was really great. We already know these guys. We're kind of affiliated through them. You know, our sensei, he's a fifth dan and he got all of his gradings through that dojo. And so we already know some of the people, and it was pretty great because, you know, we drive up and there's two big senseis teaching the class and they know us both personally by names because we go to a bunch of Kenshus and see them all the time and we come and visit whenever we can. And it's pretty wild. And we got to work with some new people that we normally don't work with, worked with some of their students, and that's always fun. So Tech is recently a Shodan, which is a black belt, and I am sort of recently a brown belt. I'm a Sankyo, there we go, third Q, which means I've got, you know, two more tests and then black. And Tech started it before me, but he had a 13-year break, and so we went back together, and he just built upon his old stuff. And we've been doing it since he returned, and we moved here about 3 years. We're coming on 3 years of doing this, and it's a lifelong thing. We're going to be doing this for the rest of our lives. I know it. I don't see us changing, and especially now that he is a Shodan, that means that if we move and there isn't a club, well, then we start a club. Because in our art, you don't just test for your black belt. You actually have two tests in one, and one of them is the instructor's test. So he can grade, I think, up to green belt. And he's going for his Nidan, which means he could grade up to my belt, I believe. Or no, he could grade up to an EQ, I think, which is the last brown, and then his next test is he could, you know, the test after that, he could make a black belt, which is pretty cool. And the neat thing is, our current sensei, he can make third dans, and third dans can make first dons, you know, black belts. So we're a self-replicating dojo. And it's very neat. Anyway, long story short, this is our life. And we even have, like, these retirement dreams of buying an RV and spending a year touring North America, visiting every dojo that we possibly can. And maybe writing a book about it and podcasting. It'd be fun. It'd be a lot of fun. So that's what we did today. And then we came home and we had a long nap because Georgetown is like an hour and a half-ish away. So we had to get there pretty early because it was morning class. And then we had some lunch and then we came home and it was awesome. And now we are just like cooking up a storm. Tech is working on. He just charcoal barbecued pork shoulder, and he's gonna make chili with it, and he's got like this whole thing going on, and pulled pork chili sounds delish, and I made what we're gonna use for our dinner and a movie tonight. So surprisingly enough, I had heard about this movie last year, I think it came out, and I thought, God, why do we have to remake everything? It's just stupid. So The Man from U.N.C.L.E. I did not expect a good movie. I really didn't. I expected it to be poop. And it was on Netflix, and we said, you know what? We got some time to kill. Let's just watch the intro, see how bad this is. And it wasn't bad. It was really good. I didn't realize it was a Guy Ritchie movie, and he hasn't really done much in a while. But I loved Snatch and Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels. I really love Snatch. I own too many copies of Snatch. So I really like that. And I was like, Henry Cavill, well, that's the guy that ruined Superman, right? Well, I don't think it's his fault, really. But, I mean, that's what happens when you get cast in movies that kind of ruin Superman. And, no, this is good. He plays the character of Napoleon Solo really well. I was impressed. And we're big fans of Archer, and we couldn't help but see how much influence The Man from U.N.C.L.E. has on Archer. And I know of The Man from U.N.C.L.E., the original, but I haven't really watched a lot of it. And when I did, I was like a kid. So if I did at all, I'm not even sure if I have. So what I know of it was pretty loose. So I can't tell you how spot on it is, but it feels pretty authentic. Just because, like, the clothing is great, the timing is great, a lot of the information is great, but all of the acting, I really loved it. So the entire time, we're just referring to Napoleon as Sterling. And, you know, Archer is awesome, but, you know, I always saw the James Bond stuff and the Agent 86 stuff and all of those influences, but I didn't realize how much The Man from U.N.C.L.E. was in there. And so we're calling Napoleon Sterling, and we're calling the Russian guy Barry, the bionic douchebag. But he's actually, you know, a lot better than Barry, but he just fits the look so well, right? And it was really good. I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it. I thought the music was great. The costumes were great. The cars were amazing. Everything looked right. And when they went from archival footage to new footage, it flowed. It matched really, really well. Like, you had clearer film, but you could see everything kind of matched. And it was a lot of fun. And Hugh Grant, I didn't even recognize him until he started talking. He did a pretty good job. I looked it up, and unfortunately, it didn't do very well in the box office, so I don't see us getting any sequels. I wish we did, because it's actually really good. Like, dang, why didn't anyone tell me this was so good? So we're not pairing this with anything particular from the movie. We're just actually going to pair this with what I made for dinner tonight, and we watched while we ate, so we're going to pair this with some curry and chips. And I've been perfecting my curry recipe, and I've been using a little bit of cream in my curry, and dang, does that taste good. That is really, really good. So it's I use a curry paste that's like, what is it? It's like in it, the paste has all of the curry and the seasoning in like an oil and a tomato puree, kind of pasty thing. And then I mix that in with, usually I do it with water, but this time I did it with some cream. And then I fry up some chips, some fries. I just take a potato, I cut it up, I fry it. You could bake it, which is how I would traditionally do it, but I've been loving the frying out of my Dutch oven. And then you cut up the chicken and you cook that in the curry sauce and you put that over top and it is delicious. And if you like spicy, it's really good. If you don't like spicy, that's where the cream kind of tames it down a little. I like spicy, so I kind of add a little cumin to bring the spice back up. But the stuff I buy is really, really spicy. You could tone that down if you wanted. And if you needed to make it yourself, you could definitely handle the spice yourself. And it's just tomato paste with your curry spices and all of that. And it's, delish. So that's what we had for our dinner and movie. So The Man from U.N.C.L.E. and curry and chips.
Nutty Bites is produced by Nimlas Studios under a Creative Commons Attribution No Commercial Non-Derivatives 3.0 International License. That means you can't change it without my permission. You can share it and send it to your friends. Just link back to me, my site, and everything. We live at nimlas.org, which has links to everything social media, including facebook.com/group/nuttybites and patreon.com/nukejoss, or call 347-Nutty42.